fucking
Oh, she's only 83 years old.
Only? Only?
I'm Eddie.
I'm Noah.
This is Lookers and Ostra.
And today we are looking at the 1986 teen classic, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, banger.
Starring Matthew Broderick, Mia Sara, and Alan Ruck. And directed by John Hughes.
So, actually, before we start, I kind of feel like I need to do this. It was this guy's birthday, like, two days ago.
It wasn't. He's lying.
I'm not lying. It was his birthday.
He's lying.
Happy birthday. Anyway.
No, but that's blatant as well. So
that's true. It's not a blatant lie. It was your birthday. Like, not that long.
Extremely early birthday. I don't know. Either way, you...
He's straight lying.
No, he's just doing it like a year early for some reason. I don't know.
What? Are you actually gaslighting me on the podcast? Are you having?
Yeah, you are.
It was his birthday.
I think you're having like a moment.
Onset dementia. It was your birthday on Sunday. Don't lie.
Ice Sam's.
No, damn.
Yes, it was.
Okay, we're wasting value.
Moving on.
Happy birthday.
Everyone say happy birthday. John Hughes directed this.
This is probably like his most popular movie.
Is it?
Is that like...
Not The Breakfast Club?
Well, I think more people have seen this.
Not Pretty in Pink?
No, like... Okay, like the only
one... National Lampoon's Holiday.
Yeah, the only one I could probably think that would probably come close is like National like Lampoon's... which one did he do? He actually didn't do any of them.
Christmas Vacation.
He wrote it, I think. Yeah.
I don't know if you count writing, in which case Home Alone would definitely be his
most... Yeah, but I don't think I am. I'm not.
We're talking directorial...
Because then, like, you've got stuff like, I don't know, Dennis the Menace and, like, that live-action 100... Oh, my God, he made a lot of stinkers.
Vegas Vacation.
Yeah, no, can I just say something that, like, his pre-1990 work, solid.
It's then there's solid Drill Bit stuff. Taylor.
And then, like, I don't know, he just... I think after Home Alone, it's just... It was easy slam dunks from there. Like, you don't really have to try after you do Home Alone.
What was his connection to Mr. Mum?
That's the one...
He wrote Mr. Mum.
Apparently it's a great film. I mean, it's got, like, Michael Keaton in it.
83, maybe not. Maybe it's fine.
Yeah, but, like, he was kind of, like... He set the template of how you do a teen movie that I still think they follow to this day. In my opinion.
A lot of people.
And Ferris Bueller's Day Off and The Breakfast Club are, in my opinion, the two big ones.
Yeah. I would probably say The Breakfast Club is slightly more revered.
It's more revered, but like, I don't know, like personally, I just think...
But I mean, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I was shown that 3 times in my old school. Like, it's like the, like, easy watch
really?
Movie.
Like, honestly, these movies... I feel like if I lived in America, these movies would be seen a lot. I would see more of. I don't know. There's something about living in Britain where it's just...
You watch very different Call the Midwife.
You just watch very different movies. And I don't... His movies are so intrinsically tied to America. Like, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you can't... You have to
it's
be like
only,
in a,
like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you need right? to kind of be in like that kind of mindset. And so many of them refer to like American like high school and stuff like that. I don't think...
I mean, I feel like... For me,
I don't know, just me. It's just like, it was
I can't really think about the John Hughes movies without thinking about the Ready Player One book. Because in the book, there's like a whole, like, massive section where they go to John Hughes' world and like they have to like navigate all of John Hughes' movies. And
really?
Like,
what they replaced that with in the Shining?
The Shining section, which you
I
know,
mean, I guess Spielberg likes
The Shining.
Yeah.
The John Hughes thing, I remember it being really cool though. Like, they're like on the bus and the girl like offers them like the sweaty Harry Bow.
Yeah.
And, like,
I don't think, I mean, like, how many John Hughes films have I actually seen? I've seen The Breakfast Club. I've seen Uncle Buck.
I've only seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I've seen four. Four of the ones he's actually directed.
I'm like severely like under. I think I've only seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I need to watch The Breakfast Club.
You need to see The Breakfast Club. You need to see Uncle Buck. Uncle Buck is. That's classic. Yeah, it's a classic.
What are the highlights from this other than Hi Charlie Sheen?
In Ferris Bueller. Who does he play again?
He literally just plays a druggie in the police station who manages to seduce Ferris's daughter. Sister. It's so funny. He looks so like pale and like really odd and like off.
Yeah. Is that the strangest role Charlie Sheen has ever done?
Definitely not.
you've got Matthew Broderick in this movie who I think I'm like, I'm really just like indifferent to just like Matthew Broderick as an actor. I don't mind him.
He's had some like amazing roles.
I think he's good in Election.
But then he did like
Lion King. He's obviously like
pretty good.
He's good voice role.
But then
there.
He did like Deck the Halls.
The Cable Guy.
War Games. He's supposed to be pretty good in War Games, yeah, no? He is good.
But like,
I feel like when he was a kid, he was a star.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I haven't seen like No Hard Feelings. He's like the father in that.
It's weird that he's like cool in this.
I know. It's really weird. Like this. Is, what?
Matthew Broderick's in B Movie.
Oh right, yeah. I almost forgot about that.
What?
He's the guy who like he has to have that fork.
Well, what is he doing?
I don't know. Again, like Matthew Broderick, I don't know. I know a lot of people don't like Matthew Broderick.
Oh, and he's in the OG Project X.
And he's also in Godzilla. That's a lot of fish.
He was in an army movie. I don't know who sees Matthew Broderick and is like, you know what? Glory. No, Biloxi Blues.
Well, there's also Glory. That's what I've got
is
here.
Is he good in Glory?
I've heard Glory's a pretty good film.
Not the best actor.
You got Denzel and Morgan Freeman. Matthew Broderick's gonna go toe to toe.
Yeah, it's a really high. But like,
Broderick with a goatee and soul patch, like combo by the looks of it.
Yeah, I know. It's like
mustache soul patch little combination.
Yeah, so this movie is like, I don't.
They nerfed him so hard. What?
I don't know, like how. What are your favorite, like, I'm just going to ask, like, what are your favorite, like, quotes from this movie? Like, my favorite will always be, like, just, like, the teacher who's just waiting for, like, he's just getting a Bueller. And he's just, like, it's this, I can't remember his name, but it's an actor who basically plays the same role in every single movie. Like, he's in The Mask as well. What's his name? Ben Stein.
Oh.
Ben Stein, like.
I thought we were talking about another blacklisted member.
Oh, no, I'm not even going to go there.
Guys can figure that out yourself. I don't know. I feel like there's always the life moves pretty fast.
How much do you think it costs? Like one to actively film that twist and shout scene.
We have to. That's probably my favorite needle drop in like all of. It's not even that I like the Beatles that much. Like they're great, but the choreography and the vibes are so immaculate.
This movie is one of the biggest vibes.
Where they go, where is Ferris? And then boom, and he just pulls up out of nowhere. And then all the people, like, of all the different, like, colors and religions and heights. Like,
everybody just chilling.
Everyone is just, like, vibing out to this, like, random English band.
I know,
and
it's just, like, it's, one, how much money? Because I know for a fact to get, like, a Beatles song.
Should we find out exactly how much it cost?
Yeah, dude.
Okay, you guess. I'm gonna say higher or lower. And you
What are we finding out? How much?
How much the twist and shout scene cost?
Well, I'm talking about how much it costs to get the rights to that.
Okay, for the rights, more or less than $300,000.
More.
No, it's only $100,000
to shoot that to film that scene.
For the rights of the twist and shout.
Really. Because I know for a fact that when it comes to like licensing Beatles songs, the reason you don't see it that much is...
I guess they just love the script. I don't know how many of them were still alive in 63.
Three.
How many alive now? Two?
Two.
Ringo and Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, poor George. George is my favorite, guys. I just have to say.
No, I'm always Ringo myself.
Ringo, like...
People hate on Ringo.
It's the haircuts, man.
No, like, he's
if
like,
you saw us in person, the haircuts would be like, he likes Ringo.
People give Ringo way too much, just like...
Okay, no, but George leaves the band, and not only does he do loads of charity work and he's like actually a good person, he also releases the best solo...
The rest of them aren't good people?
The year after,
Paul McCartney is a vegetarian.
He uses his like money and fame to like raise loads of money for, I'm going to say the wrong country, I'm going to feel really bad. He did a charity concert, I can't remember, I think it was Bangladesh. Yeah. And he raised so much money. Meanwhile, like all the other ones were just bickering in the news. And he released the best solo album and no one can change my mind.
But Ringo...
All things must pass. Best album by any Beatles solo ever. Arguably, one of the best albums by the Beatles, period.
Whatever you say. Like, I'm just trying to find out how much it costs to, like, even get the rights to Beatles songs.
It's about 100,000, which is the equivalent of 250,000 yeah. So
the only four. Like, there's a reason why I can only count on one hand of how many
this
films.
This movie,
like the Robert Zemeckis film, I Want to Hold Your Hand, which has 17. But that was, I feel that was like a co-production with like the actual Beatles, because that was 78. The Social Network.
Yeah, that was really weird seeing that.
And okay,
also, that was a great needle drop too.
And Yesterday.
Oh.
I've never seen Yesterday, but I just.
God, no.
This is really weird. Also, B-movie.
Oh, man.
Wait. What song?
Here Comes the Sun.
Why is B-movie like subtly haunting us?
I don't even know.
What? Oh, wait, there is.
Moving on from that. You had to break this.
And then like four pretty well-known movies. And then
she's got
like,
that one.
The B-movie.
But no, but it's still crazy because you can only count on one hand of all the films. Can you name another one that uses like Beatles songs?
There will be one more.
I just don't feel like there is.
Let me find out. Keep going, I'll find out.
Okay, so this movie is quite famous for like the fourth wall breaks.
That I think that's what shapes the movie though, to be fair. And okay, you missed a couple.
Really?
Piano cover.
And they can't be covers. They cannot be
Nowhere
covers.
Nowhere Boy, I think, has one.
They can't be covers. I'm not saying they have to be like the actual thing. All the five that we've named are all like the actual thing.
There's not that many. You're right. It's good.
Apparently, Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny has one.
I feel like because it's set in the 60s, I don't.
Maybe Glass. Apparently, Glass. No, I think they just mentioned Blackbird.
Glass Onion.
The movie Glass Onion.
The title is
yeah, but
yeah,
the more you know, like
but
I didn't.
I know they talk about the guitar they play. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Maybe that's.
Does that have anything to do with the movie?
What's the title?
Was it just a funky title? Oh, that could have been used for better.
I think TV shows have more of them.
Yeah, but no.
I think it's at max 10 movies.
All I'm trying to say is just that it costs. It definitely.
Oh, the Royal Tenenbaums.
But that's a cover, and it has nobody singing. Of Hey Jude, so.
Whitney Allen and I, but obviously, because he funded that. Whitney Allen and I.
Really?
But apparently. Wow. I mean, according to Google.
Sorry, off track.
Yeah.
To get into a Beatles episode.
No. It's just like very interesting because like it must have cost a lot of money, but like it definitely.
Yeah, it's got definitely worth it. While My Guitar Gently Weeps, but that's because George Harrison partially funded the film. So.
Right. This movie is set in Chicago, and.
Is it? I feel like it's never overtly mentioned.
John Hughes movie, Chicago.
Chicago.
It's always Chicago. Directors.
They see the Bears, don't they? The Cubs, sorry. They go see the Cubs.
The certain directors.
You know, someone tracked down the actual game that they went to go
really?
And see. And it's like a real game they filmed at.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Like,
they just pulled up to a Cubs game and started like filming.
There's just certain directors where like, you know, like if they're directing a movie, most likely it's going to be set in like a specific kind of place. And I don't know, like this is very like, I something really interesting while I'm watching 80s movies. I don't, what are the parents' jobs again?
One's a lawyer.
Okay, that's why they live so well.
And the other one's like a doctor.
Yeah, because like I always watch like a John Hughes movie and then like they all have like the houses. And I'm always like, oh my God, these are genuinely the most like majestic houses I've ever seen.
That's huge.
Genuinely majestic. Like the one in Home Alone.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I actually.
That's like a multi-million dollar home now.
Yeah. Do people. Yeah. People. Of course, people live there.
Yeah. Is that a real house?
Yeah. So apparently the parade scene took multiple days of filming.
Of course it did.
And apparently, like, Broderick was, like, quite nervous about doing it. Because, like, how old was he? I want to say, like. Because you always get to take it with a pinch of salt when you're doing teen movies.
He could be like 12 or he could be like 50.
Exactly. 1962.
Could be a baby face.
1962.
Come on, work those cards. 24 years
old. But let's say it's filming 1985, 21, 20, 20, 23.
Okay, that's not egregious.
That's.
He's like 18.
That's been worse.
No, I swear he's 17 years old because he's in the last year of high school moving on to college.
Oh my God, this guy has such a crazy slacker in this movie.
He's crazy. I love the scene where he just like overtly tells people how to skip school.
I know. I don't know like if...
He tries so hard to just not
Did this movie have
The bit where the principal, is that what they call him, in the headmaster of the school?
Yeah.
Is like staring at the laptop and he's watching the days like disappear.
Yeah. and it's just like I was watching. I was like, surely that's not how it works. if so.
Also, his fit in this movie, just the costume design, is so like ugly, but also works so well. Yeah,
but it's the same thing with like you look like Marty McFly's one. Like
the Marty McFly one is kind of sick.
Nobody's wearing
He's
that.
Wearing a Jaguar print cardigan and like bowling shoes. It's really random.
Okay, I just saw something here. While Paul McCartney admitted that he liked the movie, he personally disliked the twist and shout sequence for its inclusion of brass instruments. So there's...
What like a tryhard? They're using brass instruments in a song that doesn't technically
include
brass
instruments. It is their song, though. Like, well, no, it's not even their song.
Yeah, that's true. It's a cover.
That's a cover.
Of whose originally? Maybe that's why they got it so cheap.
But he's lip syncing to the Beatles.
Is he?
It's not like they're lip syncing to the... We have spent more time talking about the Beatles.
Voice.
Yeah, who originally did that?
The top notes.
I see. Okay.
A blues
so
band. Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, written by...
1961, yeah. Shocker, blues song covered by white English people. But I mean, it sounds great.
Yeah, no, it does. It does.
Only for John Lennon to later just like, ruin everything.
Okay. Bro, we've spent more time talking about the Beatles than this. Like, this
it is a Beatlesy movie. To be
it
fair.
Is. It is, and like I did. Like it's always funny when like
we have to talk about the little Star Wars sequence where they randomly go like, "You better look after this car," and it's just too like.
I keep hearing that there's two people who like they look after the car, but then they go on like a joyride with the car. I keep hearing that they're making a series out of them. I let me check. I heard.
So it's a great scene.
So.
It is. It does feel like, obviously, there's a plot.
So,
in
August 2022, Sam and Victor's Day Off announced to be in development for the streaming service Paramount. Okay, and in December 2025, it was scrapped. Okay, that's probably why I haven't heard of it. There was supposed to be a whole spin-off.
Oh, Cobra Kai producers.
There is a TV show of Ferris Bueller.
Is that? Is it just Ferris Bueller's many
days? I think it's similar to how...
Ferris Bueller, the sitcom. Yeah. With Charlie Schlatter.
Which, okay, I can see...
But it's from 1990, so I feel like it's...
I can see how, the progression of thinking this can work as a sitcom. I would probably do the same thing as well.
Yeah.
But I feel like it should have been a sitcom first to make it work.
Nah.
Oh, what?
Jennifer Aniston's in it before she was on Friends. Okay, that's cool. That's really freaking weird.
Really familiar.
That's a crazy find for me.
She plays his girlfriend as well.
That's a really fine for me.
Except for the guy who plays Ferris Bueller doesn't look like Matthew Broderick.
But it's not. It's just like, it's its own thing. And predictably, it got a poor reception and was cancelled after one 10% season.
10% on Rotten Tomatoes. Jesus.
Oh, what do they know? It could be good. Maybe I'll watch it.
And the car is awesome.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And
definitely.
The bit where they're like reversing it and
the bit where he's running. The car just. Oh my.
Also, God, again, majestic house. That's like an Elon Musk like tech mansion in the middle of the woods kind of house. Like,
yeah.
Practically, how do you get to school when you live in like that home? Surely the bus doesn't just stop in the middle of the woods.
Something I always think of is that like this is obviously we look back on it. Well, I don't even know how to say that. I look back on it with 80s nostalgia because I wasn't there, as you could probably tell. But like, what would if they did this movie in like 2026?
It wouldn't exist.
I'm just thinking like
40th anniversary. Okay, but if they remake.
No, I'm not saying they remake, but like you do a John Hughes movie in 2026.
As if it had never come out before it released right now.
Let's say that. But like one of the John Hughes.
So well. But it would be more Stranger Things.
I don't know. No, but like.
Yes, off the back of
Are people going to call that like. Oh, it's just like...
Nostalgia baiting.
No, let's forget that like these movies even exist. What if you're just making... Pretend these movies do exist and you're trying to make a John Hughes type movie but in 2026. You know how you look at Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles and they're obviously
like... It wouldn't work. It's too like soft.
Are people going to think... Is it going to be just too like, it's gonna be, cringy?
It lacks emotional depth.
Is it going to be too cringy? Because you're going to be using... Because back then, in those movies, you're using that slang. I don't know what it was like in the 80s going to those movies and I'm not sure people thought they were dated or like...
No, because I feel like the slang for the 80s stayed very much the same.
It's like, it's...
Over a very long period.
I love the themes of 80s. There's like a new
slang word every 2 weeks now. And so it gets dated really fast.
Yeah, like you can still understand.
Like at the Oscars, like Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be dated in like... It's dated already. It was dated when they did it.
Yeah, but to be fair, that came out like 3 weeks before. It's just because our language moves a lot faster than it does in the 80s.
Yeah, like in the 80s, but I don't know. Like, they're still safe. Like in the 80s, they'll say stuff like, oh, you know, oh, that's heavy. Like,
that's heavy.
Like, I don't know. Like, that's still stuff we say nowadays. So I'm not sure if just like the 80s have survived
become like actual terms. That's just like another meaning for the word now when originally it was kind of like,
I'm just thinking. It's just like, I don't know. Like, maybe in 20 years that we'll look back on the 80s, like, because... Can I say something? Can I just say something? And this is... I don't know how you're going to feel about this.
What if I said no?
I don't know how you're going to... No, this isn't the question. This is just a statement. A film... Like, so we are as close to Ferris Bueller's Day Off as Ferris Bueller's Day Off was to the 1940s.
And? Why are you looking at that?
Like...
That's crazy.
Think of... No, but that's actually like... What? No, that surely that's... That is crazy.
Like kind of crazy, but it's not like, you know, I'm gonna like explode. Right?
No, I'm not saying. But like, just think about that. Like, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off is closer to like, I don't know, like I don't know, like a freaking like Fred Astaire musical from like the 40s, than is to like our modern day.
No, but it's like we're closer to dinosaurs than we are to the start of like. There's like loads of weird facts like that. That's true. Like,
I know, no, but no.
Frank Sinatra died after, like, died the day Seinfeld ended.
I don't know what to think about that. That's like, really recent. That's somehow really recent and not recent at all. That's closer than what I thought. And somehow it's the ending of Seinfeld, which I feel is kind of far away.
Yeah, but Sinatra was like big in like the late 40s. So when you think about it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Shall we play the box office game?
Do you have anything else?
Okay, I'm just looking at a few of the people. I'm just looking for the people who are considered for this role. So, tell me what you think. Jim Carrey, and this is pre like Ace Ventura. This is like you watch something like Peggy Sue Got Married. That's closer to like what he would probably be doing.
Still a bit crazy.
It's yeah, John Cusack. You watch something like Say Anything. Like I can see that progression. Johnny Depp pre Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
This is like Crybaby.
But that's because he's just mogged like so hard. I know. The entire 80s.
George Clooney.
No.
I don't know what George Clooney was up to in the 80s.
I think he looked like a Calvin Klein model. They're all just like absolute like chads.
Okay, he was on like Roseanne, which was a pretty popular sitcom at the time.
Oh, he had the 80s mullet. That's why he wasn't allowed in.
Tom Cruise.
I'm telling you, it's a conspiracy.
Tom Cruise.
No.
Post, blah, blah, what's it called? Risky Business. Color of Money is same year. And Michael J. Fox. Post.
Also, George Clooney looks a lot older, I feel.
Yeah, I know. I just feel, yeah.
It would have been, like, much too defined jawline for...
Yeah, I know. Michael J. Fox... like,
Elvis does...
Michael J. Fox was offered the...
Back
to the Future.
I can see that.
I can see a movie like that. I think
that's
the
only one I would potentially replace.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I feel like this is like, you can't imagine anyone else because it's just...
Yeah. And also I've got here, Emilio Estevez of, let's say, Breakfast Club and Mighty Ducks fame was offered the role of Cameron as well.
I don't think that would work because Cameron being a dork is so funny.
I know. And I just don't see Emilio Estevez.
Is too cool.
He is...
He's the fist pump guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's like the cool guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, essentially. Okay, let's play the box office game of 1986.
That's Emilio Estevez.
Yeah. Yeah, Mighty Ducks and whatnot.
Ario for me.
We actually get to, you know what? We should have done the Mighty Ducks today because, like, oh.
He's in the Outsiders. Oh my God,
have I got so much things to say about that?
Okay, 86.
86. Okay, I just want to look at the big things that happened in 86 in terms of film.
In terms of just history.
In films. Let's see.
Okay. 86 was the Chernobyl nuclear disaster.
Oh God.
Fun facts.
Yes.
Timothy, and the FIFA World Cup was in Mexico.
Timothy Dalton is announced as the next James Bond. We are still waiting for our next James Bond. But yeah.
Timothy Dalton was Bond?
Yeah, who knows?
Wasn't he for like two...
Two movies. I think he has the shortest tenure. I can't remember why.
Yeah. License to Kill, Living Daylights.
Yeah. Pixar was set up.
Cool.
And some bloke called Lawrence Gordon resigns as the president of Fox Entertainment Group.
Don't know how to feel about that.
I don't know how to feel about that either. Okay. So the 10th highest grossing movie is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Okay, got that? You. Okay. The next one is it's a comedy film. No, that four. This movie cost $5 million.
How much did it gross?
$70 million.
Oh, that's pretty decent.
Like from like budget to like box office ratio, that is an amazing. What is that? How many times more is that? 12, 14 times its budget. I can't imagine it even spent that much on marketing. Like, let's say it's $6 million. It's still like, that's a lot. That's still like 12 times more. So the 9th highest grossing film is released by Touchstone, starring Bette Midler, directed by David Zucker. You're not going to get it. You're not.
Okay, go.
It's called Ruthless People.
Never heard of it.
No, you haven't. Again, it's the 80s. The next one is an Eddie Murphy movie. It's an action. No, you know, it's an action comedy film. That's all I got.
Is it the policeman movie?
No, it's The Golden Child.
Never heard of that.
Ever. Yeah. Next one. Now we're cooking with gas. Like you're gonna know this one. You're gonna know this one. This one is a sequel to one of the most famous films of the 1970s, directed by James Cameron, not his directorial debut. I think that was Piranha 2.
Alien 2.
Piranha
2. Oh my God.
Yeah, he's kind of, he doesn't talk about that one. It's similar to how, is it Ridley Scott doesn't talk about Alien 3?
No, it's David Fincher.
David Fincher, I'm sorry.
He refuses to speak on that.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the inverse there. The next one is a movie starring Rodney Dangerfield.
Who the hell is Rodney Dangerfield? Sounds like a fake name, bro.
I got no respect.
Yeah, Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, come on. Surely not. Don't look it up because then you'll find out what movie it is.
Natural Born Killers.
No, okay, it's not. It's not.
No, but that's
what. Oh, yeah. No. Caddyshack?
I think we've talked about this movie as being like the last
movie. No, it's not Caddyshack.
The Bill Murray and dude.
Yeah, exactly. But this isn't that. Yeah, that's Caddyshack. This one is it's a pretty funny plot. Like this uneducated like guy goes back to like has to go back to school with like his son at the same time. It's pretty funny.
I don't know.
It's back to school. It's called Back to School. No. I already said it. Okay, the next one is a Star Trek movie. I'm just gonna like because like
Star Trek, it just makes it easier. Revenge of Khan.
No, it's not Revenge of Khan.
Star Trek 1. 2, 3, 4.
Star Trek 4. The Voyage Home. Not really as much of a Star Trek person, but never really have been. Yeah. The next one is a sequel to one of the most famous 80s films ever, starring Ralph Macchio?
Macchio?
Yeah.
Oh, The Karate Kid 2.
Yeah, Karate Kid 2.
Underrated. Underrated.
The next one.
The scene where he smashes all the ice. Yeah. Pretty cool.
The next one is it's another of many from the 70s and 80s Vietnam War movies.
A Few Good Men.
What? No.
That's not Vietnam.
Oof, yeah. Bad. I don't. Okay. It stars Charlie Sheen. Yeah.
Charlie Sheen in a war movie.
It's an Oliver Stone movie. Pre Doors. Oliver Stone and I don't want to say it's not political because it is, but
I don't know.
Platoon.
Oh, I do know Platoon.
Yeah, you're not good with the 80s, are you?
I don't.
I promise you, it'll get better. These last two, this one is an action comedy film that kind of made like Down Under seem cool, and until it wasn't, because it's not.
Jesus,
sorry. starring Paul Hogan. That's of
Outback. Australia.
Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, okay, the next one. You have failed all of these.
It's 86.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That was pretty. Okay.
It's 1986.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. That's cool that you got it immediately, but that kind of ruined it for me.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So, what are we going to give this movie?
5.
That's quite high. That's very generous. 4.5. Let's go 4.5. 4.5. I love this movie. It's one of the most fun movies. Like one of the most enjoyable ones that it's I don't want to say it's like oh you don't have to focus on it, but like it's just really chill, yeah, you know. I think I might watch it today.
I have a very random question. I was thinking about this. Has Clint Eastwood been in anything that isn't like a cowboy movie?
Yeah, those are things.
So yeah, he's made a bunch of films that aren't those.
But
as well.
He looks like he's almost always in Texas in all his movies.
Yeah, and that's just like he always has this like long stare.
He looks like Zoot.